Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Awaken with Maria and Monica. And every day you wake up, there's always some bad news on the doorstep, as the Beatles would say. But this is the unfortunate reality we find ourselves living in. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, and it's really important not to pay attention to that news, because I was reading, actually I saw a video of Will Smith, and he just said that he watched the news one day and realized that he was getting addicted to it, like it pulled him in. And when it does that, it they do something to make you feel it, especially Fox News. They really brainwash and, you know, they change your state of mind. But he said, I realized I wanted to have peace and order and harmony and serenity. He goes, and I stopped watching it altogether. But there's other people who have to watch the news because that's what they report on, right, Maria?
Right. I'm too tied into it, that's for sure. I was like, wow, I better start thinking about taking some time off. But you know what? I went outside because I've had, you know, problems sleeping this whole month. It's like just interrupted sleep. And I know it, there's a lot of frequencies hitting the earth. I know the sun is going crazy. But when I was out there at 6 o'clock this morning, they just began spraying the skies. And by 8 o'clock, the skies were all dimpled with the new made up clouds, which, you know, they can also use for mind control and disturbing our frequency.
Yes, absolutely. And this is why it's important that every morning when we wake up, we connect our heart to the source, spirit, all that is, higher power, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't care, the great I am. We connect our heart to that and disconnect from collective consciousness or anything that is unlike the light or love. And we actually set the tone for the day. And it's the first thing I ever do before anything else. And it makes a big difference. So I would definitely want to suggest that to your listeners.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do it so much. It takes hours almost. Some days it takes hours to get through it. It's like, oh, God, anchor me down. But, you know, I had let the audience know that we were going to talk about past lives today.
Past lives and reincarnation. Both are just past lives.
Well, either one, wherever it goes. And I want my audience to know, we never prepare for this show. We just off the cuff. But it was interesting.
No script, nothing.
Right. It was interesting because before I said it, I had asked listeners to send in questions. And I got one that her intuition must be pretty good because her question kind of fits in with the show.
Okay.
So I thought we'd start with this. Her name's Cindy. She's born April 27th, 1961. She says, I've been having health issues and working hard to rehab and heal my lungs using physio and a mixture of meditation and Qigong. Is there something I could do to bring about a miracle in my health, or is this a karmic thing that I must live through?
No, you don't have to live through anything. There's something called divine grace, and what we do, I was told a long time ago from extraterrestrial sources to reset our being to the default settings. And instead of focusing on what's wrong, focus on what's right and say everything in my being is in divine order. I also feel that she needs to really express herself a lot, do creative things, have more joy in her life, laugh more. And because laughter and joy is healing. And, you know, the areas of pulmonary and bronchial and asthma and all those things have to do with the inability to release repressed emotions and repress things that we need to say. One of the things I would say to her is to probably write down everything that's been bothering her, like forever. Just sit down and start writing and writing and writing until she gets it out. Because sometimes we don't have anyone to talk to, or we don't want to talk about certain things.
Right.
So I think that she needs to write, and that will help heal her. So my sense is that I don't believe that this is tied into a past life. because I don't see anything that she did to cause another person injury or pain. So I do feel that it's in this lifetime that she's going through this.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I took a look at her also, and I don't see any indication that this is from a past life. And sometimes mm-hmm. when I'm reading for people, it is a past life. If it's a past life issue, and a lot of times if I make them aware of what the issue was, it clears.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Because then you've looked at what caused it and how to heal it. And, you know, like, this is why I like Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body, because she deals with, you know, present tense, what caused the ailment, how to fix it, and she gives you the end result. And in her books are, it's alphabetized based on ailment or disease or illness. So when I looked up at asthma, you know, it just said the inability to stand up to my father or fear of the father, which was really true. And once I dealt with that, I don't have asthma anymore.
Right. Well, that's interesting because when I look at Cindy's timeline, what I can see is that she does have father issues and she's got still some broken heart issues over relationships that she's been in. And I think that's where a lot of this emotional problem is stemming from. So it's time to do.
Don't want to look at that because they don't want to go back through what is called suffering. But you don't have to suffer. You just write down the things, you know. And if you're really pissed about it, write in red ink, you know.
Right, right. Paint, finger paint. But the other thing is, you know, when I see something like this, I always tell people to do some sort of releasing technique.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I cover in my book is how, because the book is about raising our frequency. And in order to do that, we have to get rid of the low frequencies because we can't walk around with those low frequencies as they cause illness. So with her, it's a need for expression to get it out, get it out. And then when you, excuse me, sorry about that. And then when you release an emotion or whatever is bothering you, before you send it out to the planet, don't send it out in the way it is because we can't transform and raise the frequency of whatever it is that was within us. So we cannot create it, we cannot destroy energy, but we can convert it. So I would convert it and send it pure love and then release it.
All right. Well,
love to the planet.
Well, you know, another suggestion I have, especially for people that live on the ocean or near the ocean, is to just write it out or speak it out over the moving water, because moving water will carry it away. Moving water is healing water.
What an incredible visual. I mean, the ocean's at the end of my street, so that I love that.
Right. You know, back in the days, that's what people used to do. You know, even the term escape goat, a lot of people don't know where that term comes from. But back in the day, people would speak their problems and whatnot to a goat. And then let the goat loose. And that's where the term escape goat came. So this is another way of releasing your stuff, except I don't think most people have access to a goat. But even if you do it over running water out of your faucet, you know, there's so many good releasing techniques, even if you get
body
work.
And even when you look at different sayings, it's like, where did that one come from? I was so angry I saw red. Well, that's the first chakra, you know, and that's where that physicality is held. And when people get very angry, they do see red. That's the first chakra. Then you look at the third one, which is in the abdominal region, the solar plexus. People that don't have enough courage are called yellow bellied, you know, envious, green with envy. That's the color of the heart. You want to pull that stuff out. How about having the blues? That's the area of expression. You get depressed if you're not expressing yourself. How about in the pink? Everything is rosy.
Right.
That's the color of universal love, you know? So it's interesting. I wonder who actually came up with all those sayings, because that's how I memorized the chakra system.
Right. Well, you know, there's also, you know, the whole theory and technique of color healing. You know, healing with colors.
Oh, and I definitely believe in that.
Right. You know, some days I'll show up at the gym in drab clothes and everybody knows I'm in a bad mood. But some days I'll go in there so colorful that I knock people's eyes out and they'll say, wow, you know, can't miss you today. And my answer is the same. I needed the color today.
You need the color. And that's how you should pick your wardrobe for the day. What color feels best for me? And you'll be wearing the right one that's actually going to heal, you know. And it makes a bit, like I said before in another show, my closet is according to like the rainbow. I have all the reds with the reds, the oranges, the greens, the yellows. They're all like the rainbow. And I go in there and say, what color am I drawn to today that I really need? And I know exactly where to go. So, and then you build the outfit, you know how we women are.
Right. But there's the, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, healing, color and the way you feel.
But I want to say one thing. During the holidays, never burn red candles, because you'll find within about 30 minutes, arguments will start happening. People will start bickering. If you don't light red candles. Green ones and white ones, other colors, fine, but never red.
Well,
I tried it myself and it did work. People started to fight.
Well, you know, okay, we covered that. A lot of people are, and especially when they call, you know, you or me, you know, a lot of people want to know about their past lives. But I always have to use my own intuition to whether or not they can handle hearing about their past lives. Mm-hmm. Because I keep telling people, you know, if we're here again, it wasn't because we were Mother Teresa in a past life.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think sometimes people go overboard trying to find out their past lives to the point that they don't spend time on their present life.
Yes.
And you can't blame everything happening in this life on something that happened to you in the past.
You know, that is so true, Maria. But if there's a trait, for instance, if a person can't wear turtlenecks, because it creeps them out, or they don't like small places, claustrophobia. At that point in time, they need to really look at past lives to find out what happened.
Right.
And what I do is I tie in a past life to this lifetime so that they can release those fears. Like, I used to have a fear before of hot water.
Right.
I would only take lukewarm showers. I can't drink anything that's really hot. It burns my skin. And then when I ask, because you can access your past lives by asking them to come through in a dream state, and you can actually see as an observer, you can say, I just want to observe this. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want it to control me in any way. I don't want to feel anything. I just want to see it. And I saw myself being through, and people kept asking me to go to Hawaii, and I wouldn't go. And so I thought, okay, why is it I have this aversion? I'll go to the Caribbean, but never Hawaii.
Mm.
And my entire family used to go, you know, but I just didn't. And had a dream that I was actually sacrificed as a 15-year-old into one of the volcanoes. And I also had a fear of heights being on mountains. Freaked me out.
Hmm.
Couldn't handle it. So, yeah, I saw myself being thrown into a volcano and being sacrificed. And I thought, that's where it came
from.
Yeah,
that would do it. I would say that would do it. It's interesting you say Hawaii, because I had similar experience in Hawaii.
You
know, my own sister was living there for 7 years. I never wanted to go. And then when I did go, I hated it. Okay. And I couldn't understand it. And my friends were like, who goes to Hawaii and hates it? And then I had to go back to Hawaii for work. And I decided to take a day off and go see Pearl Harbor. And what was revealed to me in that day in Pearl Harbor, I was crying like a baby. And then when I saw that I was actually one of the brothers on the USS Arizona, which is interesting since I live in Arizona.
Live in Arizona, yeah.
And I watched me and my brother look at each other the second the bomb hit the ship. And it was like our whole lifetime just passed in a split second. Once I finally got away from Pearl Harbor that day, and there was so much more to that story, I was okay going to Hawaii again, but I called one of my good friends while I was still there, and I said, I want to get back to my life. And she realized that I was talking about the present.
Yeah.
But obviously that had affected me, because I had been back several times after that, and I loved it every single time, but I guess I needed that realization.
Yeah, you need to make that connection. Did you ever have any fear of water? Did you just love water? Because you're in Arizona. There's no real water there, right?
Well, not so much a fear of water, but heights and water. Like driving over a dam. It's like one of my worst nightmares.
There you go. See, it does carry. It's called imprinting or bleed over. And you and I have an interesting connection here, because I have my past life in World War II, but it was Nazi Germany. And in order for me to get over what happened, I actually flew. I went to Warsaw, and then I went to Auschwitz, because I knew I died there. I had been having those revelations since I was like 8 years old. And there's a lot more that happened, but I can tell you that once I went to Auschwitz and I actually brought home some soil and some rocks right in the place where Josef Mengele used to, you know, point the finger right or left, and this was at Birkenau, Auschwitz-Birkenau, And it was a very releasing experience, but it was one that I had to do. My dad passed away and told me to go there, and I did. And he said, I also go to Berlin, and I went to Berlin. Because, you know, I communicate with people who've crossed over all the time, and after my dad passed away, he guided me and told me exactly what to do. And my trip was to end at Stonehenge, which I went to. With David Icke drove me there, in fact, and it was quite revealing what happened. Boy, there's really strong extraterrestrial communication right there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, from that past life in World War II, it made a lot of sense of my present lifetime.
Right.
And I won't go into the details, but I can tell you that my job this time around was to serve humanity, and that's all I've done my adult life. So, you know, my personal life has suffered.
Right.
Well, but now I'm looking. So any men out there listening that are available, I'm looking.
Personal life, what's that?
I know.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, when my kids were little, I remember one day we were watching a documentary on the Holocaust. And
yeah.
I just sat there and just burst out crying uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like, you know, crying during Schindler's List. I mean, I was really like off the walls crying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this is also an indication of a past life. You know, people get indications of past lives all the time, but they don't pay attention.
All the time.
You know, the things you like, the things you don't like. Do you know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
You can learn just as much either way. You know, years ago when I was...
You took the words right out of my mouth, Marie. I was just going to say the exact same thing.
Oh, well,
If you hate something intensely or love something intensely, they were connected in a past life.
Absolutely. Yes. There's always clues.
And what's interesting to me is that, you know, you and I have that connection to World War II, and Germany was an alliance with Japan. Because they were left off the Versailles Treaty, you know, so they aligned together. And, you know, I'm fascinated by history anyway, but there's a lot more that's been revealed since
right,
then.
Right.
It was kept under wraps by our FBI, Herbert Hoover.
Well, that's a whole long story. But, you know, I remember when I was married and still living in New York, and believe me, my husband was not as aware as I am, but he decided to go down to Virginia for a three-day weekend. And, you know, we went to Arlington Cemetery, you know, the usual places everybody goes.
Yeah.
And then we were out in a field not far from Arlington. And all of a sudden, he couldn't breathe. He literally couldn't breathe. And he had to sit down on the ground in front of one of the trees there. But he told me that while he sat there, he had a full-fledged vision of being bayoneted through the stomach as a blue coat against a tree in that spot.
Oh.
And then, of course, when we researched it, of course, that's where a lot of the war was as well. So he actually, his past life literally took his breath away when he touched the same soil.
Yeah, those symptoms do come back. And again, that has to do with bleeding over into this lifetime or imprinting. So I always tell people, look, aren't you curious? Don't you want to know? Because it explains a lot of times why people come here with certain ailments. Like people say, well, that's not fair. That person has disabilities and stuff. But we really don't know. What if they did something in their past life where they, you know, they cut someone's leg off or they choked them or whatever. And now this lifetime, based on something called karma, they're paying a price for that. And that way their soul's going to evolve and move into love much faster. It's the fastest way to learn
right.
when we have certain, you know, disabilities. So for me, it's not like I became colon callous. It sounds like that, you know, but it makes total sense.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes it's not karma. Sometimes it's the challenges you wanted to experience before you came down
yeah.
here. You know,
That's
I think
exactly
about,
right.
I'm sure you read Shirley MacLaine's books, her spiritual books.
Yeah, I did.
But I remember her first one and one of the stories in it that I really never forgot. She was in India, and she was going down the Ganges, I guess, you know, one of those long boats. And she noticed on the other boat that a child had fallen off the back of the boat, but none of the adults turned around to help the child in the water. And, of course, she, coming from her Western perspective, immediately said, why are you people just standing around? Why aren't you helping that child? That child's drowning. She didn't understand when they replied to her, That's his karma. We don't interfere in other people's karma.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Well, it's brutal, but in a way, you look at different belief systems. And how she thought she was right, but they also thought they were right.
I wonder what religion they were.
I don't know. It was India, so it could have been anything.
Well, you know, I'm closely connected to Taoism, but not Buddhism. You know, I believe in working with energies.
Well,
and when I look at past lives for people, I don't know anything about them, but I'll say, you know, you have a fear of this, and it's because of what happened back then. So I use it for therapy reasons for people to get over it, but I don't know. It doesn't feel right for me to let a child die because I believe in divine grace.
Right. Well, but I'm just saying, you see how different cultures believe in different things.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But, you know, when you experience, you know, for yourself, especially when you don't believe in any of this stuff and all of a sudden you're having a full-fledged out-of-body past life memory, you have to start paying attention. But the good thing is once people realize where it's coming from, like I said earlier, sometimes it just automatically leaves. It's like you lifted it off their etheric body and it's gone.
Yeah.
Or they can work towards, you know, work towards getting rid of it.
You know, I have a really good process that won't take long, just a couple minutes for people to do in order. Not only can you ask to dream about a past life, but you can also, it's so funny. I had a dream one time that I was an Italian opera singer. There was no electricity, and I was on stage singing, and I love to sing. But I saw myself as a male, very, very fat and gluttonous, really. But I had a great voice. And so the next morning, I just was going to happen to have a reading by a woman named Bobby. And this is probably back in, I think I was 37 years old, so it's probably back in the 80s. And she said, now, you know that you were an Italian opera singer in Italy, right? And I said, yeah, I just dreamt about that one last night. But there's another way to actually access them as well. You know, you can do some techniques. I have them on my YouTube channels, but one of them is to ask yourself, you know, why do I have this particular fear? Or identify something that's holding us back. Then we ask, why do I have this particular emotion that's triggered every time something happens? And so just say, I need to either dream about it, or what I can do is you can look in the mirror with dim lighting and just stare at your eyes. And when you're staring at your eyes, you're going to notice that all of a sudden the mirror is going to go black. And then when it comes back, you're looking at your eyes, but you have a different face. And that's a past life. And after a while, it starts to move very, very quickly. So you have to take notes and make sure that you remember what it looked like. Sometimes you're a female, sometimes you're a male, sometimes you're a child, an old person, but you have to look at it. Now, don't do this over, like, maybe 10 minutes, because I did it so much that I got scared to look in mirrors. I'd walk by a mirror and I refused to look in just because I didn't know it was going to stare back. But you can access past lives that way.
Right.
And you'll notice that you'll feel like there's a spirit guide with you because you are being protected, so nothing can harm you. But then when you start looking at faces that don't look like they're from this planet, you realize that you have incarnated from other galaxies.
Right.
And that's a trip.
Well, you know, back in the day, when I was, you know, a young woman, you know, studying everything Edgar Cayce put out, Edgar Cayce Foundation actually sold you a kit on how to work through your past lives, how to find out your past lives. It was like it was a really big loose leaf with all kinds of exercises in it. And that's really where I, you know, first started, and it was pretty fascinating. So, you know, there are some tools out there. However, I don't recommend that the regular person spend a lot of time on past lives because most people can't deal with this one. What do you do if you find out you were, you know, an axe murderer in a past life? That's going to be pretty hard to carry around.
Well, I do a process, and again, it's in my video YouTube channel, where you can actually go and see your past life without having any emotional connection to it, but just observing it. When you observe it, you're not emotionally connected at all, so it doesn't bother you and it doesn't hurt you in this lifetime. You get to just see it like a movie, like watching a movie and it happening to somebody else. But you know that it's you, because you don't want to come back traumatized. That would be irresponsible. And even past life regression, too, I always have people look at what's going on in their lives as the observer, and it's a lot easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have another process that is more loving, and this one involves, in your mind, see yourself going into a room that's got three doors. You walk through the first door, there's a door on the right, and there's a door in front of you. When you walk through the first door, you notice that there's a circle in the middle. and you step in to that part of the circle, but not inside of it, just on the line. The one on the right side, who's going to come through that one is going to be a master, a family member that you really love. That's kind of like the mediator. And then the one in front of you is going to be that past life that either did something terrible or needed to, you know, maybe had tremendous insecurities and whatever it was, that person will come through. Then there's three of you, and you're all going to connect your heart so that you're receiving love from the person on the right, the avatar, the ascended master, the you know, anyone who that you love, family member, and they're going to send their love to your heart, and you're going to send love to your past life heart, and you're going to listen to what they have to say. But the way you heal this whole process is you tell the past life, look, I'm you in the future, and I came here to let you know that we've made it. You've learned a lot. You've grown a lot, and I don't want you to be afraid any longer or feel a certain way. I want you to live in my heart so you can see how amazing we are now. And when you do that and you merge together with that past life, the one on the right side smiles at all of you, and then they're the first ones to walk out, and then that past life comes into your heart, and you reassure it every day that it's fine. And you're actually reassuring yourself, but you're reassuring yourself from a past incarnation. So that one is a beautiful, beautiful process.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, that does sound great. I like that one. I'll try that one myself.
Yep.
You know, when I talk to people about past lives, and some people are truly obsessed with it, I always tell them, wouldn't you rather do a future life progression instead of a past life regression? Wouldn't you like to see who you're going to be next? Because I find that much more life affirming than going backwards.
Yeah, I think I would probably use both of them because, you know, since we counsel all the time, there's a lot of people that have the same issue that come up over and over and over again. They can't get past it. So they have to find out where the genesis was from that particular behavior. Just like a dream reveals where something started in this lifetime, how it's manifesting now, and what the solution is, which is why people can't, or they have a hard time interpreting their dreams. But the dream actually tells you the answer, but it tells you where it started. So if you go back to the past and the genesis in another incarnation, because they're all tied in, you know,
right.
Why not? And then I call it future pacing, what you're talking about now, going ahead of time and looking at what's there for you. But the way I do it, I have a creative process. I'd like to hear yours as well. My process is that I have them look at an album, and the album in front of them is of the next 5 years. And they're going to be looking at pictures like you would a photo album, and it's going to be of themselves in different scenarios and what they're doing. Now, if they like what they see in the next 5 years, continue doing what you're doing. If not, you can make adjustments now in order to create the success that you really want. So future pacing and looking at a photo album of your future is a good way to do it. So how do you do it?
Well, most of the time I could do it, you know, if they're, you know, here in front of me, I'll walk them through it. I mean, I'll put them in a very light meditative state and then just walk them through it and sit with them through it. Just so, you know, especially doing past life stuff, because if they start freaking out, they need somebody to save them. You know, and it's interesting because many years ago, one of my good friends was doing a class on future life progression, and there were probably 20 of us in the class, and he had us laid down on mats in a room, and he put us pretty much in a very quiet meditative state and pretty much walked us through it, and then he just let us be quiet and go where we had to go, and then after a while, he called everybody back, you know, everybody stretched out and came to, and then he asked people to share what they got. Some people didn't get anything. Some people, you know, got something. And I was the only one in the room laughing. So he goes, "Why are you laughing, Maria?" And I said to him, "Well, I finally met the man of my dreams, and he's me." And I just started laughing at the irony of it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you do run female and male energy. You know, that's what makes us autonomous and individual. Hard for men to handle that, though.
Right, but I mean, I saw a future that one of my friends, who's one of the founders of the Futures Institute here at Rio Salado College, when I told him what I had seen in the future, he was blown away. He says, "How would you know about any of that? But I can tell you that they're already working on things like that."
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was aware of, which I never forgot, was it looked as though I was in Austria. but I knew it wasn't on this planet.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, every single day when I do my meditation in the morning, I always ask my extraterrestrial friends, because I have some by name. They're from Andromeda, and Sheron is one of them. Look him up. Google the S-H-E-R-A-N, Sheron. He's from Andromeda. Blonde hair, blue eyes, stands very tall. There's another one, I don't know, his name is, oh my gosh, it'll come back to me. He looks Asian, but both of them are from the same place. And that particular one, the Asian one, does a lot more like working on the body, healing whatever needs to be healed. And he actually puts you on his table and works on certain things. And that's a really cool experience as well. But I like, you know, connecting with extraterrestrials because they can really bring, they can reset any, they can heal bones that are broken and stuff. But I think, you know, I'd like to know how to do that stuff. But when I asked them, they said, no, your brain isn't up to that place yet. You have to raise your frequency in order to receive new ideas. Mm-hmm. But they're behind Nikola Tesla, Leonardo da Vinci, and Einstein. They were giving them all that information of what to invent. And I thought, this morning I even said that. I said, give me some information to teach people some new things about how to heal themselves, because we've always heard the expression, physician, heal thyself. Mm-hmm. And we can, but we just don't know how. Right. And they know how.
Exactly. Well, we are very limited in the little spacesuits that we inhabit here. Monica, we need to take a short break. So stay with us, Monica and I. We'll be right back.
Spiritual professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground, out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Awaken with Maria and Monica. And yeah, we're talking about woo-woo stuff today. But if you're really honest and you really think about your own life, you'll see that you've probably had a lot of the same cues all along. But unfortunately, most people are trained to look away from that or say, oh, that was just my imagination or it didn't mean anything. Monica,
well,
earlier...
what do you think imagination is?
Right, it's your intuition. It's all the
Hello?
Same. Hello. Right. Now, earlier you were talking about how we could tap into all these different lives and et cetera, et cetera. But the truth of the matter is, if you truly believe that all time and space exist at the same time, you're really just living one life, which you can tap into any part of that dream as you want, backwards or forwards.
That's exactly right.
Right. You know, I'm reading Michael Rakia's latest book, Many Voices, One Mission. And I read a chapter before I went to bed last night. And he talked about the fact that we are always in two places at once.
So you're talking about parallel lives?
Well, beyond parallel lives, I think what he was talking about is we're here in the mind and the physical, but we're also out there. Where our soul or oversoul is. So we're always in two places at the same time, but some people confuse themselves by constantly staying stuck here.
I get it. And you know what just popped in my mind once you said that? then it would be actually, since we are interdimensional beings and can communicate interdimensionally once we know how to do it, we are then, it's smart to be able to connect with the other part of us who probably has more wisdom and has more solutions. As I find when I study parallel lifetimes, that I can connect with my other self mm-hmm. and ask her questions about how do I need to get over this certain thing that's going on in this lifetime. And I get the answers. So right. we can actually talk to ourselves and get the answers,
right.
not just other ascended masters or angelic beings or terrestrial mm-hmm. beings. We can communicate with ourselves.
Well, we can also ask. We can also ask for strength from our parallel selves when we need it. You know, when I send Reiki out at night and I send Reiki, you know, my distant healings, I send them to all my parallel selves too, because I figured, what the hell, they can use it.
That's a good idea, Maria. And by the way, thank you for sending me some Reiki. You know, I've had some issues with my back, and I don't know where it came from, but my upper back is just in so much pain. I have no idea where it started, but I know metaphysically it means not feeling supported. And in fact, that is actually true, because I always look at the metaphysical interpretation as other things. And it's that back pain, it's like I used a TENS unit. You know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used it on my back for 3 hours the other day, you know, zapping it with electricity. And it helped heal it a bit. But, you know, this morning when I woke up, it was like, oh, my gosh, where is this coming from?
Well, it's usually, you're right, it's about feeling unsupported, but it's also shouldering the weight of the world.
That's exactly how I feel, because I'm writing this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I feel just doing what I do. But, you know, you're in sunny California where pot is legal, and they have great healing creams with pot in it that you could rub into your back, because when my shoulder gets tense like that, I take out the pot muscle cream, rub it in 5 minutes, it's gone.
Okay, I'm going to check on that. You know, my niece works at a dispensary. And she's in Denver, but she gave me a lot of information about exactly what to get. Mm-hmm. I also heard of the oil that you can use instead of the lotion. But mm-hmm. I think I like the lotion better, because oil is oily, you know?
Right.
So thank you for that, Maria. Thank you for that.
I mean, while you're talking to me, I'm like, okay, let me take a look while Monica's talking, see what's going on with her back. But you know,
well,
when
that's the benefits of knowing each other. We can give each other answers.
Right, for free. So, but what I see is that you do feel betrayed. You feel like you've been backstabbed a lot in this lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, your oversoul is saying, honey, it's time for a vacation, just some downtime, just to do nothing, go to a spa.
You know what, Maria? I've got to validate you there, because I pulled my angel card this morning, and it said healing and balance. That I needed to laugh, I needed to have a good time, I needed to do something different. And I've been wanting to travel, you know. And so, and with balance, and yesterday, a female friend of mine who I hadn't seen in 12 years came over, and we were just laughing and laughing. And I thought, I'm so glad I reached out to her, because it had been so long, and I realized I've been isolating myself. So it's my own damn fault. But I'm not going to crucify myself over it, because we cannot do
that. Of course not. But you know, like I said, you take the weight of the world on yourself, but sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves first. And that, you know, listen, I had to remind myself this morning after another sleepless night, this is an illusion. I'm getting trapped in this illusion. I have to snap out of it. I mean, I just kept repeating this over and over to myself, because it's very easy to get trapped in this illusion, and you forget that absolutely none of it is real.
And that's what Will Smith was talking about in his video, that he was getting trapped in that illusion, and he said, no, I got to stop. The only thing I'm waiting for now is to see, and it's happening, I want to see Donald Trump's karma kick in full blast.
Well, I think that's a given. That's a given to happen. But, you know, people have to realize we live in a frequency of fear. It's programmed into us from when we're children, you know, a fear of getting old, a fear of dying, a fear of not having enough, a fear of not having money. You know, what you fear is what you draw near.
And I can give people a perspective on this. False evidence appearing real. Look at it as an acronym. False evidence appearing real. And like even Roosevelt said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. When you look at the definition of fear, it is a lack of love. So we have to choose every morning who we're going to serve, fear or love. And that is a real important step.
Mm-hmm.
Because right next to that fear, its cousin, faith, is right there, worry. Worry is its cousin. So worry is the opposite of faith, faith in ourselves and faith in the process and letting go.
Right. I had a great gal on the show. I think her book was called Why Worry, where she said 80% of what we worry about never happens. So why worry?
It's in our head. It's in our head. It's actually in our head. So, you know, I believe in choosing the path every single morning. I want everyone listening just to do it, you know, for a week. Wake up every morning and say, today I choose love and I reject fear. Fear is a darkness and love is light, and light always trumps. No, I hate that name. Light is always more powerful than the darkness.
All right.
So just do that one simple little thing and you'll notice a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because the key is that, you know, we try to do things autonomously without connecting to source. And we are spirit first, with the body, with emotions, and with the mind. But we are spirit, so why don't we pay more attention to that?
Hey, I agree. You know, I know you're not on social media. Good for you. But
I'm on Twitter, and that's it.
Oh, well.
You can follow me on Twitter. Just type in my name, and I tweet mostly. I tweet a lot of inspirational quotations. I tweet a lot about animals because I love animals. That's my passion. And I tweet political stuff. I retweet political stuff, I should say.
Well, I'll tell you what. Every Monday, because I know another week is starting and I know how people feel, I put up the same post. And no matter what, I still get thousands of likes, even though it's the same one every Monday. And I say, here's a Monday morning reminder. And I'll read it to you. It says, you think of yourselves as humans searching for a spiritual awakening, when in fact you're spiritual beings attempting to cope with human awakening. Seeing yourself from the perspective of the spirit within will help you to remember why you came here and what you came here to do.
Oh, I love that. Would you email that to me? I'd like to put it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What I have to do there, because, you know, we only have 147 characters, is that I actually would photograph it and then attach the photograph to Twitter. And I'll put your name on it.
Oh, well, I didn't make it up. I mean, I don't know whose it is because I share a lot of other people's memes.
Yeah.
But the other one that I like to also put, which, believe me, it's a landslide every single time, if I could actually get it to open. For what reason it's not opening on my computer. It's a landslide. And I think it was Bill Hicks. It says, you're a ghost driving a meat-coated skeleton made from stardust, riding a rock, hurtling through space. Fear nothing.
I love that, too. You know, by the way, this just popped in my head. You know how things always do that. Will Smith has a new series starting out about the planet, living on this planet. And because he's such a positive influence, has a lot of quotations online. I'm going to watch that series. I believe it's on National Geographic, and it starts in about a week or so. And the commercial says, you know, you're walking on something that's something like a miracle, or that's wonderful, and it happens to be this planet. So I'm going to watch that. I think it's going to be good.
I'll have to keep my eyes peeled for it. You know,
I'll let you know. Once I get, I'll send you an email.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to past lives, I think that past lives, when you know it, it heals your present tense. And then it allows you the freedom to move on and look forward. And then, you know, look at your forward, your you know, the life that's on its way for you, to see if you're doing everything that it needs in order for that to manifest. Because what we experience in this world is a reflection of where we are now. And the now is what creates the future. But you can certainly take a peek into that future.
Right.
So I think that by using both of those things, it's going to help people heal. Most important thing is get out of judgment. You know, as much as I like to, you know, really take a stab at Donald Trump and the craziness going, I realize I don't have to anymore, because it's really starting to manifest. Everything is falling apart for him. And all I'm doing is just kind of, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of just laughing because it's falling apart.
Well, I mean, I saw it before it began, so I'm not surprised by any of it, but it's hard not to be affected by it, that I could tell you. But,
yeah. But
who knows what that was in a past life, or if it even originated on this planet, because my sense is a lot of these people are not human.
Oh, yeah. The void of soul, void of heart. And, you know, it is a fact that he did used to read Hitler's speeches. His first wife said it.
Well, maybe that's
and
his reincarnation.
Butler was a Nazi, and he used to salute his butler with the, you know, the arm stretched out, senile. And that stuff is fact. Ivanka Trump wrote about that. And it is true that he did rape her and pull her hair out, which is why she divorced him. But these Christian rights, they always want to give him a mulligan.
Well,
that's okay.
It makes you wonder, not so much their past life, but the future life that they're going to have. Because everybody pays. Everybody gets to pay. And that's really why I kill myself doing what I do. First of all, I don't ever want to come back to this reality. Second of all, when I leave, I want to leave with clean hands. I want to actually be able to say, you know what? Yeah. I did everything I knew how to do.
You know, I think this is really the battle between good and evil at this point in time. And good is going to triumph, because I see there's a lot of things that are turning around that are going to go right. And we're watching it before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching as the darkness is starting to dissipate and fall apart. So I'm happy about that, you know? I really am. I was being kind of mean on Twitter before with all the people that were in that, especially Steve Miller, the Nazi, you know? He's a Nazi. Warren Fletch, you know?
Well, yeah. You've seen him matched up against that old Nazi picture that looks exactly like him.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how do you explain those kind of things? I watch some things on YouTube where they show movie stars. And you could see them, clear as day, they look exactly like people that were here 100 years ago.
You know, the thing about it, I know that's so weird, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that he was a Nazi in that, because he's only in his 30s, and so he would have been born during that time. But recently I just finished watching Hunting Hitler, and it just blew me away, because they found out that the Nazis, of course, we know they were in Argentina, Paraguay, and Chile. But in Chile, they had 754 internment camps, concentration camps there, and they had a survivor who talked about how they had the German flag up and how they were beaten every day, just like the Gestapo, you know. And those things existed, Maria, in the 1970s.
Right. Well, we had concentration camps here in America, too.
Yeah,
you
know. But that was in the 40s. This is in the 1970s.
Well, I mean, some people, you know, you look at souls, and that's another thing when it comes to past lives or future lives, is souls tend to travel in groups.
Yeah. So I want people to look at the last episode of Hunting Hitler, season 3, episode 8, so you can see for yourself that I was blown away. It scared me, because that changes history.
Right.
We didn't know about that. They kept that from us.
Well, they keep everything from us. But again, we live in a totally false reality, so we can't expect too much truth to be delivered to us.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I don't know if I ever told you about this, but years ago, God, so long ago, one of my girlfriends in New York was studying to be a Scientologist. Now, I have no use for any religions or cults, but she needed somebody to help her with her homework. And they had a process, she explained it to me, called auditing. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not, Monica.
Of course I have. I'm very familiar with the fake Scientology who tries to manipulate and brainwash people.
Okay.
I also watched the Remedy show.
Well, Lee Remedy's great. But I will tell you this. This woman was the sweetest woman you'll ever meet in your life, Monica. And she needed somebody to practice on in order to, I don't know, I guess they certify them or something at the end of the road. And she asked me if I would help her, which basically meant, you know, she put me in session with her and she'd take you back in memory to something that happened in your early childhood, just from your memories and what people said about it. And then eventually their goal is to for you to actually be there and re-experience it. I thought it was all bullshit, but I trusted her. And I worked with her for about 3 months, and I will tell you this, it could have just been her and her gift, but it was excellent. It was one of the best ways I had ever seen to access not just your past lives here, but on other planets as well. It was crazy, and I enjoyed it so much, and then I lost track of her for like 30 years. And 30 years later, one of her sons contacted me, and I said, I wonder if your mother kept notes on those sessions. But I had no way of contacting her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy to help her out. And I have to tell you, she was very gifted. I, like I said, I don't recommend Scientology or any other cult to anybody.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, even a bit, you know, what do they say? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And I found that particular method, or could have just been her, to be very effective.
Yeah. Well, she's an extraordinary person, that because most people get out of there pretty much fucked up, you know.
Right.
And control, and the things that they do, they're no better to me than the Seventh Adventist. What do they call those?
Seventh-day Adventist? Oh, you mean the...
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventist. The Mormons, they're no better than that. They're a cult, and they're very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think that that's going to be exposed really soon, just like the, you know, Catholic Church and the Vatican and the shit that they did during World War II, helping the Nazis escape. Because they were, you know, afraid of the Russians, so they sided with Hitler. And because of the Catholic priests, they were able to find them. What they did is they baptized them, and they gave them new identities, and they got them out to South America. So to me, it's like, oh, my God, I'm glad I'm not Catholic anymore. The things that they've done have been worse than Al-Qaeda through history.
Well, people have short memories, right? Short memories and little knowledge of history. But, you know, I look at, you know, I've been following the Zionism. And when I look at Israel and the way that they treat Gaza and the Palestinians, all I see are reincarnated Nazis. You know, you can't say never again and then be the person perpetrating the same thing. And it's almost like, you know, history just keeps repeating itself.
I want your thoughts about this, because you know how the crown in England, you know, they've always stayed together. You know, they want to keep their pure lineage, and then here comes Markle, that girl, Meghan Markle, who is half black and marrying the prince Harry. And so I talked to David Icke about this, and he says, yeah, they're trying to mix in more blood now and bring in darker skins, and because that's like the new agenda now. They're trying to really, you know, make everyone connect with the opposite race that are dark skinned, and it's like, okay, that didn't bother me too much, but I was surprised that the Vatican said okay to that, you know, because they've always been about keeping everything pure and white.
Right. Well, you know, all I thought about, first of all, she's a great actress. I love her.
Yeah, I do too.
Right. But all I thought about is I hope she lives longer than Princess Diana did.
Well, that's exactly my point too, because, you know, I always wanted to meet Princess Diana, and there's two people I really want to meet. That was Michael Jackson back in the day and Princess Diana, and I thought, maybe not, because I used to think, God, they have it all, you know? But then both of them are dead.
Look at the price they pay.
Which isn't a bad thing, but still, it's like...
well, listen, tragic. Some people just come into this life with one mission. And when their mission is done, they leave.
And
to me, you know, with Michael Jackson, I knew from the minute he came out with Black and White that he was a marked man.
Yeah.
And look at the... Look at how he left the world. Look at the effect he left on the world. Okay, so he did his job and he left. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about the movies. And I said to him, I honestly believe that Kevin Costner was born to make Dances with Wolves. Whatever he does the rest of his life is irrelevant. But he came in to put that out. And I also felt the same with Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Because I believe that he was William Wallace. You know, when you look at them and you read the story of how obsessed they were with those manuscripts, they were going to put those movies out no matter what.
That's interesting to me, you're drawn to the manuscripts and films where I'm drawn to music, because that's the same kind of thought I have about John Lennon.
Well,
a very strong connection with John Lennon.
Right. Well, you know, I had heard a long time ago that, you know, the song Imagine was given to him from the spirit world for people to meditate to. And, you know, his number was up. But look, John Lennon, there are certain people that become bigger in death than they ever were in life. But when you look at certain people, you know, to me, you know, was, you know, Kevin Costner John Dunbar? Well, if he wasn't, I don't know who he was. You know, was Mel Gibson William Wallace? I have no doubt in my mind. And no matter what else they do, I think the rest of their life is choice. But I believe you have your mission and you have choice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, a lot of people want to know, why did this one die so young and whatever? And that's the answer I give them as well. They just came to do their mission and they left because they're just going back home, you know? And so when I'm able to talk to people about leaving, you're still a spirit. The spirit doesn't die. And but there's certain religions that say, no, you're going to heaven or hell, which is a bunch of bullshit. Heaven and hell is here on this planet. Mm-hmm. And whatever we make of it, it's our choice. And so we have a responsibility to either create a masterpiece or a mess.
Right.
And we can change anything. Anytime we change our thought, the trajectory of our life changes completely. So if a person is filled with hate or if they just dislike a particular, like, I never really enjoyed anything that was Asian. Looked at a past life, sure enough, I was used as a geisha serving men. And now my entire house is done in red and black.
so it came back at you anyway.
Yeah, and I like it. It feels so good, but I had to find out where it came from, you know. And your tastes do change, and the people that you start, like, right. For a long time, I had, from that past life in World War II in Germany, I knew that I was born in Warsaw, and my dad told me, and I made friends in Warsaw in this lifetime and went there and saw, and places looked so familiar to me. But my first boyfriend, when I was, I don't know where I got this idea, but my subconscious knew that something was wrong with Polish people. And I thought, why am I feeling they're inferior? I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, and every time I'd say someone's Polish, they'd say, ooh, they're not good enough people. And I thought, that, where did that come from? That's a past life belief, you know?
Right.
And so my very first boyfriend, though, turned out to be a Polish Jew. You know, the family was from Poland, and I thought, how interesting is that? Then the other boyfriends were all German, all German, you know? And so I thought, you know, what's interesting is things replay themselves over and over until we learn lessons.
Exactly. You know? Until you see the program, you can't break the programming until you understand the programming. Monica, we talk about programming. We're out of time. We probably could have kept talking about this for hours, but maybe next time we'll talk more on reincarnation for sure.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good because I think that heals people. Once you know, you heal from that and you can let it go and move on. And it's like, otherwise you feel like you're tied to a vice and you don't know why it keeps happening. But that's the answer. Go back and explore those and use those little techniques.
Right. Or you feel benched. As a matter of fact, just a quick before you go. The last show where that gal had written in that she was feeling benched.
Yeah.
And you and I had, you know, given her our advice. She wrote me and told me that it helped and it worked because she's no longer benched.
Fantastic. Bravo.
So I knew I had something else I wanted to tell you before I hang up.
I know, but, and you know, we're not scripted. So, right. Yeah, now mine worked very quickly, you guys. When you work with telepathy, it moves so quickly, which is why a lot of times you find that people like ourselves can come across really rude and interrupt you. Like when we're talking to you, we interrupt a lot because the information that comes to us, we're not giving you our opinion. We're giving you our perception. And that information comes so quickly that we have to interrupt you to tell you.
I know.
And so to me, I always get, God, you're so rude. You interrupt, you know. And I said, it's not that. It's just that I'm getting telepathic information and I got to tell you.
Right, before you forget it. I know that feeling well. Well, Monica, take good care and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Okay. Take care, you guys. And thank you, listeners.
All right. Bye, baby.
Bye, hon.
Check out Monica's work at Monica with two N's, monica.com. There's a link here now. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. And I'll be back on Thursday with the news. Take care.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.